Bristol Bay, Alaska provides more than half of the world's sockeye salmon. Hundreds of commercial fishermen and others from the Puget Sound region join Alaskan locals to reap the benefits of its pristine habitat. Seattle film director Mark Titus is among them. In 2014, he made his first documentary about the threat to wild salmon from a proposed gold and copper mine. That film ended on an optimistic note. 5 years later, his latest film is an update with mining officials forging ahead. Called The Wild, How Do You Save What You Love? The film is playing at the Seattle International Film Festival. KNKX environment reporter Bellamy Palethorpe sat down with Mark Titus to learn more.
At the end of your first film, The Breach, 5 years ago, it seemed like Bristol Bay was safe from the proposed pebble mine. That's not the case anymore, which comes as a surprise to many people, you say.
I often had the response that I thought that fight was over, and it really looked that way, and it kind of went off of people's radars, and I think that was really great news for the folks that want to put the mine in there, because most folks who get wind of this issue don't see the sense in putting what would be North America's largest open pit copper mine in the headwaters of the last fully intact wild salmon run on Earth. So what happened was, under the previous administration, under the Obama administration, that EPA had done a 3-year watershed assessment, a scientific assessment, and determined that a mine of that size and caliber in a place like Bristol Bay that is as sensitive as it is, could not coexist. Well, you flash forward to 2016 and the new presidency and a new administration and a new head of the EPA who met with the CEO of the Pebble Mine, and in a very short closed-door meeting, just a couple of hours, that meeting resulted in the administrator for the EPA, Scott Pruitt, instructing the EPA to stand down on protections that had been put in place under the previous administration.
So what's at stake? Tell us exactly, you know, for people who aren't in the know. They're saying they can build it safely. So what's the problem?
Bristol Bay holds the largest fully intact wild salmon run left on Earth. So if you think about back in the day, in a great year, they saw tens of millions of salmon return to the Columbia River, which is the mightiest system in this area. Bristol Bay just last year saw 65 million sockeye salmon alone return into the bay and up its 8 river systems.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's a sight to behold. It's a feeling to behold. My film doesn't really, frankly, even do it justice. That amount of biomass that comes into a spot at one given time for such a short window, it's profound, it's moving, and it lets you know that you're not the biggest thing totally in control on this planet. And that very system, that thing, is what's at stake if we don't wake up and take action here.
So this is really a very personal film that you've made. This crisis for the opposition to Bristol Bay that you described, the change in administration and in policies regarding permitting, came at the same time as you had your own crisis. You faced your grandmother's death, a cancer diagnosis for your mom, and your realization that you had to get sober. So you actually checked yourself into a hospital to detox. And let's take a listen now how you describe in the film just what happened next.
It's a small miracle I'm on a plane with my film gear 50 days later, sober, but very much still shaken. Still feeling like I could go down in flames at any moment. I'm heading back to Bristol Bay. I had promised a friend to help him film on his fishing boat, and I had to fulfill that commitment. But this, as indicated in the clip, I was just 50 days out of detox, being sober. I was in a precarious place. So, boy, I nearly hit the ripcord on this. I was scared out of my mind just at SeaTac. Like, is this going to actually work? How am I going to do this? How am I going to pull this off? What if I drink again? What if something happens out there? I mean, the fear really overtook. But something outside of myself really pushed me to keep going. And I was able to get on that boat, and then all kinds of things opened up.
You have a deep commitment to this material.
It's true. Like so many people, I'm a child of the Northwest, and I grew up around this totemic icon that really defines us. And in my opinion, defines our better character. Wild salmon return every year to the same spot they were born for one reason, so that life can continue. And they give their own lives, their very life essence itself, their bodies, so that life can continue for their children and for 137 other creatures that benefit from the nutrients they bring from the sea.
So now there is a new administration in place, and the Pebble Mining Company is back on the scene, forging ahead with what they say is a smaller proposal for this mine. And interestingly, during your last film, you say pretty much all of the mine supporters refused to talk with you or do interviews. This time, you got a yes on your first call. So you sat down with the CEO of Pebble Limited Partnership, Tom Collier. He was very candid with you. I wanted to just listen to one little part of what he had to say.
You wouldn't spend $750 million getting ready to go into permitting if you didn't have a high level of confidence that your science was adequate to come out of the permitting process with a project that could be built. You'd be an idiot to do that. And so we've done it, and we are very confident we're going to be able to come out of this with a permit.
If I'm hearing this right, the only chance this mine won't be permitted in some form is if the EPA vetoes the final permit. The same EPA that just reversed a veto decision to allow the mine back into permitting.
So it seems really very clear that the Pebble Enterprise is going to try to push this through full steam ahead under the Trump administration, which has been reversing all kinds of environmental protections. And that, you know, they really want to try to get this started before the next presidential election. And there are even likely plans after that to expand it beyond the current proposal.
This is a pattern through history with resource extraction projects. Ultimately, this is a corporation with shareholders and they have to be profitable. That's in their charter. What's on the table right now under the current EIS with the Army Corps of Engineers is a 20-year mine plan that is not remotely enough for them to be financially solvent to move this thing forward. So we've had people in the mining industry, many decades in the mining industry, tell us this, and there's just no question that they have to go for the entire ore body in order to, you know, make this thing work.
So much larger, much longer timeline. What is your answer to that question that you pose in the film's title? How do you save what you love?
I asked every person I interviewed in this movie that question, how do you save what you love? And everybody had a different response. And for me, it really comes down to loving something. That's my answer. If you love something enough, if you love yourself, potentially, you're willing to do what it takes to save your own life. And then subsequently, the lives that are all connected to you, that are all going to suffer if you don't wake up. And this movie ultimately is about connection. We are connected to these systems in ways that we don't even fully understand. But if the largest system, natural system of its kind, goes away, I think that it will be tragic, and it is something that we'll never get back.
Mark Titus, director of The Wild, How Do You Save What You Love? Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
There are two more SIFF screenings of The Wild tomorrow and Saturday. You can find more details at our website, knkx.org.